Good evening, everybody. Today, I'm feeling a little bit nervous. Thinking about questions tomorrow. Okay, whatever. So as Steve asked me to talk about you, talk about the Eightfold Noble Path. So I discussed about Eightfold Noble Path, two level already. Now today, I would like to talk about the third level, Eightfold Path, and the preliminary stage we call Pobha Bhaga Magga. Yesterday I talked about the fundamental stage. So, and then before that, also another stage. So the first two stage is the right view, right thought, five precepts, and these are mostly connected with the right view, which belong to the faith in karma and understanding of the law of cause and effect, respectively. So today, the Eightfold Path at the preliminary stage, the right view is different. The right view at this stage means to see mind and body as they really are. You know, our mind and bodies are, you know, they're all the time changing, every moment changing. That's agreeable to you, I believe so. As I mentioned repeatedly before, when we were born, we are very small, a few pounds. Now we, you know, they become very big, you know, right? And we much heavier. So that huge change happens not immediately, but gradually, right? Year by year, month by month, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. That's the truth. But we thought we were the same person. From the day we were born until today, we are the same person. That's definitely delusion. So the right view here is we have to see the real phenomena beyond that delusion. So that's the right view at this stage. So we have to see mind and body as they really are. So to see mind and body as they really are, we have to make a certain amount of effort to be aware of what we are directly experiencing through our senses without identifying them with I, mine, or me, or mine. For example, we look at an apple. What we really experience is the color of the apple, the fruit, okay? The beautiful color we can see through our sense. And if we touch it, if we touch the apple, we can feel something, maybe softness or hardness. That's the characteristics of the, according to the Abhidharma, characteristic of the earth element. Or we may experience the coolness or warmth when we touch the apple. That's the characteristics, which are characterized by the, we call fire element or temperature element, tejo dhatu. Or we may experience the tension or pressure, you know. Maybe that's characterized by air element. Sometimes we may experience the heaviness, lightness, or the kind of the solid, you know, the solidity or cohesiveness. These are characteristics of the water element or earth element. So this element we can directly experience through our own senses. When we eat it, when we bite it, we get smell, fragrant smell. When we swallow it, we experience taste. And also nutriment. So these are phenomena we can directly experience through our own senses without identifying with I, me, or mine. So in direct experience, there is no apple. Apple is illusion. The phenomena we can experience through our own senses, that's it, hardness or coolness or warmth or tension or tightness or cohesiveness, smell or taste or nutriment, these are what we can directly experience and what really exists. That's the truth. So we have to see mind and body as they really are. We have to see the upper as it really is. That's my view. And so there's no upper in direct experience or in ultimate sense. So we think there is something solid, everlasting. We are something solid, tree, something solid, everlasting. But there is nothing solid in ultimate sense. Everything is elements or energies changing moment by moment. For example, the apple. We think it's something solid, everlasting, or maybe last a few days, not ever. But you can divide it, the apple, repeatedly, until there is no solid, but only energy or element remains. There's no solid thing. Everything is energy. You think the apple is something solid. That illusion. That's around you. You think upper is no direct experience, no upper. There's only physical phenomena. That's a right view at this stage. In Abhidharma terms, there is three kinds of particle. In their smallest size, we call Ratarenu. This is a very small size of a particle. Ratami train, or the bullock cart or the cart. No. When the train passes by, the dust flying in the air. You can see the small particle. That small size is called in Pali Ratarenu. And there's another smaller size, much smaller than that, we call Anu. That only we can see through the ray or sun ray or through the light. You know, here in the space, we can see very small, tiny, you know, particle. We cannot see this time. Maybe when the sun comes in, we can see, right? The small size of that big size, that small size is called Anu in Pali. They can be seen through the sun ray. And that smaller size is we call Paramanu. It's a very small, so small particle that we cannot even see through our own naked eyes. Maybe you can see through the microscope, of course. But that's we call Paramanu, very tiny particle, smaller size. We can see through. We cannot see our through the naked eye, but we can see through the something like the microscope. But we can even divide the smaller size, Paramanu, repeatedly, many times, until there is nothing solid, only energy remains. So there is no apple. In ultimate sense, I mean. So everything is composed of the mental or physical energies, changing moment by moment. So it is like the candle light, in the example given by the Pali text. If you see the candle light, you can see the candle light is lasting for some time, maybe an hour. But if you see carefully the light, the fire or the candle light, changing every moment. Every moment, new currents of fire replacing. But for a child, you know, the light is lasting for an hour or 2 hours, something like this. But if you see it carefully, it's changing every moment, new replacement. In terms of Brahma, there is nothing old, everything new. Because the phenomena are arising and passing away so fast that they have no time to get old. So, we are always new, always young, according to Brahma. But why I look old now? So there is a replacement. To every moment, new replacement. New replacements deteriorate in quality and quantity, so that we look older. But actually no, we are not old, never old. Everything is new. It is said in the Pali text, like a, you know, the song from a musical instrument. If you play a musical instrument, the song come out. The song newly take place. That song is reserved nowhere, actually. When the condition met, the song comes and it disappears. If you play again, and then another new song comes out. So in the same way, the phenomena are arising and passing away every moment, and then they are replaced with the new things every moment, so densely, so continuously, that we take there are things solid, everlasting, because it's so dense, so continuous, the way they replace. That's why we thought we are something solid. The apple is something solid, lasting a few days, you know. But not solid, all the element changing every moment. And also replacing every moment. So there's nothing old, everything new. And also it is said in Abhidhamma, okay, Abhidhamma. Nothing can move any further. Because phenomena, physical phenomena arise and pass away so fast that they have no time to move any further. So we see things are moving because the replacement, new replacements take place, the father and the father. That's the reason we see that things are moving. So that's how we can see mind and body as they really are. If we see we are something solid, this body is something solid, everlasting, that's around you. So we have to see the mind and the body as they really are by being aware of the through what we are directly experiencing through our own senses without identifying with I, me, or mine. So we are sitting. So we find our body solid, that's the illusion. If we try to be aware of what we are really directly experiencing, then we experience in our body warmth or coldness, coolness, heaviness, tightness, pain or pleasure, many phenomena arising moment by moment and replacing new things. So if we see real phenomena beyond the illusion, that's the right view. When we walk, if we see the form of the foot, that's the illusion. If we feel the heaviness, lightness, or movement, vibration, that we see real phenomena beyond the illusory sense of form and shape. So we have to experience, we have to be aware of the what we are directly experiencing through our senses, without identifying them with I, me, or mine. Like you touch an apple, you can feel your body. So in the same way, we have to see the mind. Mind also changing every moment. So according to Abhidhamma, there's many mental process. One mental process may constituted by six mind units, at least up to 70 mind units. One single mental process. That mental process, such a mental process can take place, you know, millions of mental processes can take place within split seconds. So the mind process very dense. So it explains can billions of mental processes can take place within the movement of the flipping the finger, the paridaksi, you know, this moment. Within that moment, billions of mind process and mind units take place. So the in a daily life, in daily language, you know, one moment we feel aversion, next moment we feel maybe aversion again. Another moment, aversion again. And then next moment, we notice, oh, I'm aversion, mindfulness, right? And then, or happy, or unhappy. Every moment, different mental states arise and pass away. If you think it is I, or it is me, who is thinking? That's an illusion. If you see thinking as thinking, that's a right view, insight, knowledge. If you think I am, it is me who is planning, who is judging, who is analyzing, who is reasoning, that's an illusion. If you see thinking is thinking, kind of mental process, you see the reasoning as reasoning, if you see judging as judging, if you see analyzing as analyzing, without identifying them with I, me, or mine, that's right view. At this stage, eightfold path. So the right view is different from the right view before, right? So if you think it is me who is happy, that's an illusion. If you see happy as happy, that's right view. If you think it is me who is unhappy, that's illusion. If you see unhappy as unhappy, that's insight, that's right view. So we try to experience, we try to be aware of what we are directly experiencing through our senses, without identifying them with me, mine, or I. That's the right view at this level. So that when we practice in Vipassana, to see mind and body as they really are, to gain this right view. So all we have to do is to be aware of what we are directly experiencing through our own senses, without identifying I with I, me or mine, without analyzing, reasoning, judging, you know, the figuring, just be aware what you directly experiencing, what you are directly experiencing. When you are happy, you know that's happy. Do not identify happy with yourself. Happy is a happy mental state. Arise and pass away. If you feel angry, oh, this guy talking about that lousy thing. So you angry, right? So the don't Don't identify your anger with yourself. Anger is anger. You just be aware of anger as anger, without identifying it with yourself, I or mine or me. That's insight knowledge. Okay, so the we need to be mindful what we are directly experiencing without going too far, without identifying them with the I or mine or me, without analyzing, reasoning, and judging. Just trying to be aware of what you are directly experiencing through your own senses. Then you can develop the inside knowledge beyond the illusory sense of I or mine, permanence or pretty or pressure or passion. These are illusions. So that's a right view at this stage. May the Eightfold Path, the first thing is a right view. So to gain this right view, we have to make effort to pay attention to the present phenomena, what we are directly experiencing. So that attention is called right thought at this stage. So if we can pay the proper attention to the object, and we can see the real phenomena, and there take place the insight knowledge. For example, we feel pain, you know. If we think it is a me who are in pain, then that's around you. If you see pain is pain, pain as pain, that's a right view. To see that, to gain that right view, we have to pay proper attention to the pain. That attention is regarded as the right thought at this stage. Or I have pain, you know, trying to think of the pain. Pain is pain. There is no I or mine involved. So if you pay full attention to the pain and be aware of it, recognize it as pain, 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 you see the pain as pain. You see pain is separate from you. Sometimes you may feel you are somebody else. You are somebody else seeing the pain. Then you can distinguish pain and yourself. Pain is pain. There is no I or mine. Then you can feel comfortable. Pain no longer bother you. So maybe you trying to pretend as if you were somebody else seeing the pain from outside. Then you will feel different. So then you see the pain is changing. Pain is pain. There is nobody. It's a certain kind of the phenomena arising and passing away every moment, changing every moment. And then so the pain sometimes decrease, increase, you know, the shifting somewhere, moving somewhere, and sometimes a little bit disappear, and the reappear. You can see the changes in its intensity or the degree, you know, the changing every moment. So that means you see the pain as it is. That's the right view. To get that right view, you have to pay attention to that pain. And you have to sustain that attention. That we call Sammasankappa, right view. And we have to make the effort, just enough effort, to pay our attention to that object. If you make too much effort, you may overshoot or you may feel restless. You may be anxious. So it's very important to relax your mind and so that you can keep balance between the effort and the concentration. If you make too much effort, too much energy, your mind will become restless. So you have to just make enough effort to see, to pay attention to the pain or the maybe rising, falling, or the abdomen, or the in and out breath, whatever object you pay attention. So, and also you need to make effort, you know, to sustain your attention or the continuous awareness. So in this way, you develop the right thought, right mindfulness, right effort, and right concentration. So these five factors are called, we call the karaka meghanga. That means the working factor. Right view, right effort, right thought, right effort, right awareness, and right concentration. These five factors are working together to bring about the insight knowledge, vipassana knowledge. So these five factors are called working factors. And if you add the three factors, morality factors, like right speech, right actions, and a right livelihood. So you can count all together eight factors of the path, preliminary path. So preliminary path is composed of the vipassana practice. So to see the mind and the body as they really are is right view. To develop that right view, we have to make right effort, you know, the right thought, right attention, right concentration, right mindfulness. Then we experience the insight knowledge, insight into the mind and the body. We can distinguish mind and the body. That we call the first level of insight knowledge. And then later we were able to see the mind or intention leading all our activities. For example, when we walk in, we lift our foot. Before lifting our foot, there is the intention to lift. The mental state is leading all our physical activities. When our concentration and mindfulness strong, we see that intention behind all our activities. We can see the cause and effect. Mind and body are interrelated, interacted, you know. So that's sometimes the body is a need water, for example, and then you feel thirsty, and then you think about the fridge in the kitchen to get Coke. So that kind of thought take place from the thirsty, and from the thirst, and the body need. So body need bring about mental states of thinking about the Coke. Thinking about the Starbucks for me. I like Starbucks coffee. When I'm thirsty, I think about this stuff. Jatak. So desire for stomach. So caused by dust, right? So physical need. So the mind and the body are cause and effect, right? So when we are healthy, we feel, you know, the romantic feeling, something like this. But that's a funny, you know, the Kim Milinda, he raised a question to the Venerable Nagasena. So it's a funny question. Nagasena, you monks are well provided. You eat very rich food, you know, every day. You must have a really, you know, the romantic feeling. How you deal with us? Yes. So that I want to say is a cause and effect, you know. Cause and effect. So it's a good question, actually. So the Venerable Nagasena, he also very smart. He gave the good answer, I think. You know the palm tree? You know the palm tree? Here the palm tree is different. They cannot produce kind of juice. You know. In Burma, in India, a tropical country, there's palm trees. There's two kinds of palm tree, and a male and a female. The male palm trees are the kind of the branches like this, you know, instead of the flower. When you cut this one, the juice come out. That we collect a lot of juice and make palm sugar, and also we can make it, we can ferment it, and we can drink it as a, you know, alcohol drinks. It tastes nice. So that if you want to have juice, you know, the, to come out the, out of this, you know, the, maybe the kind of flower, you know, but this one is a very big and long. If you cut, the juice come out. If you don't cut, it juice doesn't come out. So the Venerable Nagasena give that example. So the old great king, you always cut, so the juice always come out. We monk, we are not allowed to cut. So we. So that's a funny question. I mean, so what I really want to say is cause and effect. You know, the physical body, physical need influence our mind and mental state, our thoughts. When the monks are well fed, they feel, you know, feeling something like this. So when we dance, we feel, we miss, we think about the, you know, the Starbucks coffee and something like this. So the thought of Starbucks coffee is a result from the physical need, right? So physical body influences the mind, our thoughts. Our thought influences the physical body. When we want to raise our hand, we can raise. So mind, raise, lift the hand. Right? No, when we want to, when we see, for example, the food, the hungry feeling take place. Because of food, hungry feeling take place. Because of hungry mind, the mouth water take place, right? Something like this. Mind and body interrelated. So that when we are sitting long, we feel very painful, and then we get angry, you know, right? Something like this, you know. So if we are aware of the present phenomena, the moment they take place, we see real phenomena, real mind and a real body, and then they are a relationship, they are causality, they are law of cause and effect. If mindfulness strong, concentration strong, we can see interactions of mind and body. That's the dark stage or insight. That's the way how we see mind and body as they really are. That's the right view, you know, at this stage. So the first, we can see the mind and the body as they really are. Second, we can see they are in the interactions. If our concentration and mindfulness is strong, of course. If our mindfulness concentration is weak, mind is going here and there, and no way for us to see real phenomena beyond the illusion. We are all under illusion. Even though we see somebody dying right under our nose, we never think we are dying someday. We are dying someday. We subconsciously always think we are someone everlasting. Oh, this guy dying. Oh, he dying. I never die. We feel that way, you know. Of course, we know we are going to die one day, but we never feel that way. Subconsciously, we always feel, oh, I'm never dying, you die. Like you trying to notice yourself, you will find that, you know, so deep-seated the illusion is in our heart. You know, to overcome that delusion or illusion, of course, we have to make certain amount of effort with the patience and perseverance, facing in the face of the pain, you know, sitting for long, and then we focus the objects one after another. Then we can see the real mind and body, real phenomena beyond the illusory sense of I or mind or something solid everlasting. And also we can see their interaction, mind and body interaction. That's the second insight. That's how we see, how we develop the right view. This is the Eightfold Path and the preliminary stage, the dark stage. Okay, so the last stage of Eightfold Path is, you know, the many inside, you know, stages to talk about, but time is very limited. So I have to go another stage. Noble Path, Eightfold Noble Path, within 1 minute. So actually, there's you know, the Noble Path stage, right view is different. Right view means seeing the Four Noble Truths. So then I have to explain what are Four Noble Truths. And then I think you know, you learn something about the Four Noble Truths. But within 1 minute, I cannot finish it. But still allow me to to go another minute. You know. So the Eightfold Noble Path. But actually, Eightfold Noble Path is not something we can learn from somebody. Actually, Eightfold Noble Path is something you have to experience by yourself. So the, I don't think I need to explain Eightfold Noble Path. So the Mahasiddhiyara said, Eightfold Noble Path and preliminary Noble Path, Eightfold Path at the preliminary stage and Eightfold Path and at the Noble stage are actually, you know, the cause effect. He compared it's like something, you know, that you jump a corner and reach the other bank or the canal. So jumping is like preliminary path. Reaching other bank is a noble path. So the, all we have to do is to jump over the canal. And then spontaneously we reach the other bank, right? So we don't need to make effort to for the Eightfold Noble Path. We have to make effort for to develop the preliminary path that we experience the phenomena, the moment they take place. It's very important to be aware of the present phenomena, the moment they take place. It's very important to be aware of what we are really experiencing without identifying them, whether I, me, or mine. Then we can develop the insight knowledge step by step. That's a preliminary level, preliminary stage. If you can develop preliminary stage, you are jumping over the canal, and then you will automatically or the spontaneously reach the other bank. Very fast. Of course, there is information for me to explain, to share with you, but regarding the Four Noble Truths, the experience of Four Noble Truths is accomplished at the Eightfold Noble Path, this stage. But as I mentioned earlier, Eightfold Noble Path is not something you can learn from somebody. It's actually something you have to experience by yourself. Okay, so I don't need to talk about Eightfold Noble Path. Maybe if I have time, if I get chance, or if I am lucky enough to meet you again, maybe I can get chance again to explain Eightfold Noble Path. But for today, as time is up, so thank you very much for your
thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.